A lost and dying generation are crying out for love. This is a time for a grace revolution. We preach Christ crucified, for where sin increased, His grace has increased the more. Now grace reigns.
My teaching today is personal prosperity. Personal prosperity. It's going to have, I think, two or at the most three parts. This is part one. And I know I probably say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. This teaching is very important.
this
is so important that if you have it, and understand it and walk in it, you won't need much help. Instead of personal prosperity, personal prosperity comes in everyone's life. It comes through the Spirit of God, through walking with the Holy Spirit in your life, in your personal walk.
Right?
Let me just set a foundation and just make you or remind you of a couple of things. You have to be a person of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You have to be a person of the Spirit. As a Christian, you cannot walk with God with natural wisdom. You have to be a person of the Spirit and not be ashamed of it. That is why we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the Old Testament, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And He took them to Mount Sinai. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, Moses went up the mountain. And when he came down with the law. And God gave them the law. And He told them, from now onwards, you're going to live by this law. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So when God gave them the law, and He is speaking to Joshua later on,
God
said, "This law I'm giving you. Don't let it depart from your mouth." In other words, day and night, day in and day out, talk about it. Speak it. And He says, not only that, but when you in your mind, meditate on it day and night. During the day, think about it. During the at night when you are asleep, think about it. He says, meditate on it day and night, so that you be careful to do according to it. Because when you do according to this law, He says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. But that is God speaking of the law. So then later on, Jesus comes. He's crucified. And through his crucifixion, like Moses, he brings us out of Egypt, out of our bondage to sin. Remember, God said through Moses, he said, I will send you a prophet like Moses.
Remember that?
And Jesus is that prophet who is like Moses. So just as Moses brought the people out of bondage to Egypt, in Egypt, so Jesus brought us out of bondage to sin. And just as Moses went up the mountain to get the law, after his crucifixion, Jesus rises from the dead. He goes to the disciples and he says, I'm going up. Because I'm going up. Just as Moses went up after bringing them out, after Jesus brought us out through his death, he says, I'm going up to the Father. When Moses went up the mountain, he met with God. God gave him the law. The law went down to the people. Jesus goes up to the Father. When he goes up to the Father, the Holy Spirit comes out. And the people receive the Holy Spirit. What is God showing us? The Holy Spirit has replaced the law.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit did not come to continue the law. He came to replace the law. Just as the law served as a guide for the Israelites, the Holy Spirit serves as our new guide. When you read John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to send you the gift. He doesn't say, I'm going to send you a new law or more laws.
No.
He says, no, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he, the Holy Spirit, will now be the one who guides you into all truth.
Okay.
So the Israelites were people of the law. The Christians, you and I, we are people of the Spirit. We are not led by law. We are led by the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus did not promise us a new book of law. He promised us a person, the Holy Spirit himself.
Okay?
And the Holy Spirit is important to us, just as the law was important to the Israelites. It's sad because a lot of Christians neglect the Holy Spirit. This is where my teaching is today. If you ask a Christian, what is the Holy Spirit saying?
Nothing.
Can't even hear from God. And yet God says, this is the gift. The gift I'm giving you. The Holy Spirit. Now in Joshua 1 verse 8, God said to them, this law, meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Talk about it. All the time.
Joshua 1:8, Mudimu ore malao ona bua ka ona nahanisisa ka ona dula unana ka ona.
Then you will be prosperous.
Jwale o tla tle.
But we are people of the Spirit.
Empa re batho ba mo.
Our prosperity comes from the Spirit, not from the law.
Katleho ya rona e tswa moyeng e seng molao.
So we are supposed to be, when where God says the law should not depart from your mouth, to us, the Spirit of God. We are supposed to be consumed with the presence, the power, the purpose, the passion, the voice of the Holy Spirit within our lives. How much? Day and night. We are supposed to be in communication with Holy Spirit day in and day out. The people had to be in constant communion with the law. And God said, you will prosper. If you do that. But of course they couldn't keep it, so they were cursed anyway.
But
to us, God says, I'm giving you a better covenant with better promises, with a better guide. And this guide is the Spirit of God Himself. Tell your neighbor, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Because if people were to pay this much attention to the law, how much more to the Holy Spirit? If you are constantly struggling, constantly confused, constantly lacking direction, constantly failing, check your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, He will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He will even show you things to come.
Wow.
The law couldn't show things to come. Let me show you the limitations of the law. Number one, law couldn't show you things to come. Number two, the law did not give guidance for every single thing.
Didn't.
This is why sometimes they had to go to Moses. Moses, how do we handle this issue? The Lord doesn't say. So they were always limited. But when he speaks of the Holy Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. All things. Are you a person of the Spirit? Are you connected? Are you one? Are you consumed with the consciousness of the Spirit of God inside you? Have you neglected the one person who knows the way out of your situation? Listen, you can go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and still not have your solution to your problem. Muruti, what are you saying? I've just said it. I am saying, let me just make it clear so you don't think my tongue slipped. The Bible does not have answers for everything. It was not meant to do that. It doesn't. The Bible is supposed to give you a general overview of stuff. The real deal is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who tells you, take left, not right. The Bible will give you general stuff. Let me say this. The Bible is not God. It's a book about God. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. Reading the Bible without Holy Spirit, you will have problems. The Holy Spirit first, then the Bible. Don't get the order messed up. More attention should go to the Holy Spirit than secondarily to the Bible. God said to the Israelites, pay attention to this book day and night, meditate, get it in your system. Your personal prosperity lies in your walk with the Holy Spirit. Because you see, God has always wanted a relationship with you. Therefore, He gave you His own Spirit. How sad it is that so many Christians neglect the Holy Spirit. The one person who knows it all, who sees it all. Do you understand that your solution right now is within you? It's not far from heaven where you have to say, may someone get it from me. Get
it from me.
It's in you.
With
the Holy Spirit. But if you neglect him, how will you benefit from his wisdom? We need to awaken and realize that the Holy Spirit is the big deal in the new covenant, and we should pay more closer attention to what he has to say.
I
hope I'm not boring you. I'm trying to help you. The early church understood this. This is why when you read the Bible, when you read the Old Covenant, over and over it says, the Lord God said. The Lord God said. And the Lord God said. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says, and the Lord said. Lord said. Adonai, that's the word they use. Adonai said. Old Covenant, Yahweh, Lord God.
Yahweh.
From the book of Acts
onwards,
and the Spirit said, and the Spirit said, and the Spirit said, and the Spirit said. Read the letters of Paul, the Spirit says. The only time he says the Lord, Adonai said, is if God appeared in a vision. But all the time, the Spirit. They understood, oh, the Spirit has replaced the law, so he's the big deal now. We better pay attention so we can prosper in all that we do. Let me show you the greatness of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Isaiah. There's something interesting I was looking at in Isaiah, which I think will show you how awesome he is. Isaiah, what did I say? Isaiah, yeah. Isaiah
11.
Isaiah 11. How is your walk with the Holy Spirit? Are you really a person of the Spirit?
Now,
are you?
Now.
Are you consumed by his presence?
Now,
are you conscious of his voice?
Now,
are you caring? When Peter speaks of people of the Old Covenant, the prophets, he says, men of old who were carried along by the Spirit. Carried
along.
The prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to be carried along. You don't lead him, you allow him to lead you. I'll talk about that a bit later. In Isaiah 11, it shows us how awesome the Holy Spirit is. Verse 1, it says, there shall come, this is a prophecy, there shall come forth a shoot or a branch from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. So it says, the lineage of David, they shall come forth a branch from his roots and shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Moya mogana o tla ba go yena moya wa bohlale le moya wa khutlusiso moya wa boeletsi le moya o matla moya wa tsebo le moya wa o tshaba mogena.
The seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he comes into your life, he's the Spirit of wisdom. You should be wise. God did not give you the Holy Spirit so you can live like everyone else. No, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you should have outstanding wisdom, outstanding counsel, outstanding knowledge, outstanding insight. You should have wisdom that men cannot explain.
How? Let's see what
In you right now, the Holy Spirit has all these dimensions waiting for you to take advantage of them. Now, the spirit of understanding, how long will you be confused? The spirit of might, how long will you stay weak? The spirit of wisdom, how long will you stay foolish? He's the spirit of knowledge. How long will you stay ignorant? The Holy Spirit is all these seven dimensions in one. And He wants you to benefit from each of the seven dimensions of His being. You need wisdom, He is. Spirit of wisdom. You need knowledge, He is spirit of knowledge. You need might, He is spirit of might. You need counsel, He is the spirit of counsel. You need understanding, confused, He is the spirit of understanding. He is. And He's all that in you. But the question is, are you paying attention to Him? We spend so much time running to people and ignore our senior partner right inside of us. You should be walking around where people are like, where do you get this wisdom? Every time you open your mouth, your ideas are amazing. That's how you should be. God gave you His spirit so you would be just like Him here on earth. Now you might say, but I'm not very smart.
Yeah,
not very wise. That's why you need Him. And it's okay if you feel weak. Because God delights in using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. If you feel weak, you are the perfect candidate for grace. I'm telling you, grace is for the weak. Grace is for the foolish. Those who say, God, I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough. The writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, trust in the Lord in all your ways. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust in your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. How far are you, or how deep are you in these seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit? You know what I think? I think sometimes when you think of the Holy Spirit, we think of speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick and people falling.
Touch!
That's what people think. Ask anybody, the Holy Spirit was present in our service, brother. What was happening? People were falling all over. Those are I call them extras, the bonus stuff of the Holy Spirit. Those are not the main things.
No.
They're extras, which are good. I think it's sort of like God's holy entertainment with us. Those are just, they're nice things. Yes, they bring change. Okay? But the main thing is understanding these seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit and walking in them. Because when you're walking in the wisdom, you don't need to fall to have prosperity.
He's a
spirit of, think about that. Remember that course you're trying to pass that you've been failing for the past 3 times? Yeah, that course. Yeah, He's a spirit of wisdom. Remember that mathematical thing you couldn't understand? He's a spirit of understanding as well. That problem you have at work, He's a spirit of knowledge. When will you wake up and realize you are not alone. He's with you. He's ready. He's charged up. He's on standby. We're ready for action. Do you know that the word helper or comforter, translated from the Greek word paraclete, one of the meanings is standby. One who's on standby.
Paraclete.
One who's on standby. He's always like, all right, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Always ready. He doesn't need to be charged up. He's always fully charged, 100%. Ready. On standby. Waiting. For you to say, help! Okay. Wisdom, knowledge, might, which one? I need wisdom. Here you go. He says to the Israelites, pay attention to those law. Don't lose it. Day and night. Don't lose sight of it. Who are the Christians? Who are the people who will walk in true prosperity? They are the Christians who day and night, 24/7, are in direct contact and are always listening, paying attention to the leading of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in every area of your life. We think of Holy Spirit, we think of tongues and falling. That's why we cannot apply Him in our everyday life, because we think of tongues and falling all over and crying, screaming, shaking. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm telling you, what I'm giving you today, this, if you get this and walk in it, you won't need much help. Let me tell you something. Let me make you aware of something. When I talk to people who have issues, they say, oh, this is going on. I feel depressed. I feel down. I don't know what's wrong. Yeah, you will feel down. You are not drunk. If you
want
to feel good, get drunk. Somebody's like, what? Getting drunk in the spirit. Drunk in the spirit. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled or be drunk in the Holy Ghost. Stay drunk. Listen, Paul, when he speaks of wine, he compares it to the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed drunk people are like, yeah, life is good. Meanwhile, their life is a mess. They're just in the zone. So God says, I can get you high, Lynn. Who says the Holy Spirit is there to get you high and to keep you high? Drunk people are not depressed. They only get depressed when they get sober.
When
people tell me, oh, I feel down, I don't know what's going on, I've just feel down, I know, you're too sober. Go drink.
You are
too sober. You need a Holy Ghost dosage. You need to take in some Holy Ghost, some Holy Ghost effect, experience. You need to go drink. You need to stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost.
Huh?
I'll stay drunk. You look too sober. Drunk people are always laughing at everything. They're just so happy. Everything is good. Don't you remember when the Holy Spirit came down, the people who were watching, they said, these men are drunk. Why? They look drunk.
He looked drunk.
And Peter said, no, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour. of the day. They are just filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. You need to be drunk in the Spirit. You need to not only be drunk, stay drunk. Some of you have been drunk. You know what I'm saying.
Huh?
No, in the Spirit.
Remember that
experience you had one time with God. Let's just think back.
Remember that
one time where you were just so captured by God.
Remember that,
and you felt so happy. And it's like everything is fine. Nothing had changed on the outside, but everything was so fine. You felt like. Remember that experience you had? If you haven't had it, shame. But you remember the experience you had? God wants you to stay there. All the time. You know what brings you down? It's not God. It's you. Because now you want to come down and relate with me and men. You want people to understand you. So you knock yourself sober. Instead of allowing your drunken state to get on them, I'm speaking of being drunk in the Spirit, being under the influence. You know, that's what they say. So and so was driving under the influence. So you also, you are supposed to live your life under the influence of Holy Spirit. Under the influence. May the influence of God's Spirit be upon you in Jesus' name. May every day of your life, may you be drunk in Jesus' name. May you wake up in the morning wanting just to stay in that place.
Imagine
how awesome it would be at work. You're there just smiling. Ha ha. Having fun.
Everybody's
like, what's wrong? No, nothing. I'm just happy. And you know what? He tells us here, day and night, keep drinking.
Meditating.
That's how you keep drinking. I guess what people do. When people want to stay drunk, they drink over and over and over. But Christians, they drink on Sunday and then they expect it to last for a week. Monday morning, I tell you, wake up, you'll be sober. So when you wake up in the morning, drink some more. If there is no time, when you get in the car, put on some music, drink. On your way to work, traffic takes time anyway, drink.
How?
Instead of always, how can I call it Uzumamete harvest the politiki mamma? How? Drink.
It's just
a matter of prioritizing your life, things in your life. What's more important, to be drunk with Lesotho politics or to be drunk with the Spirit of love, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might and knowledge?
It's
up to you. What do you want? The Holy Spirit is a big deal. I got a big deal. He's a big deal now. And your prosperity lies with him. Let me explain to you this way. Jesus dies on the cross. He offers you this package called salvation. Freely. It's filled with all of God's blessings for you. All of them. The Holy Spirit comes along. What is the Holy Spirit called? The advocate. He's a lawyer. Now think about it. When somebody has passed away, what happens? There's the will. Who brings the will? To explain it. So the lawyer comes along to come and expound and explain and to let you know what you have. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12.
2:12.
It says, Abel, now we have the spirit, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely to given to us of God. Another translation says that we may understand the things freely given to us by God. That's why he's here.
Rona ha re amohela moya wa lefatshe empa re amohetse moya o tswang ho modimo hore re tle re tsebe tseo a re fileng tseo re di filong ke modimo ka mahau wa ha.
The Holy Spirit is there as an advocate to give you knowledge of what Jesus left you. To show you, no, this is what your father left you. You actually own the world. To show you what's yours. But he's more than that. He's not only an advocate, but he's there to help you get everything that is yours and enjoy it to the fullest.
Holy Spirit.
But if you don't pay attention to him, how will you even know what you have? Never mind getting it.
Church.
No. I'm a person of the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. So the Spirit will show you, this is yours. This is also yours. That business is yours. This future is yours. This is how you can get it. Follow me. I know the way into it. But if you're not listening to him, how will you know the way for you to get all these things? You only confess and then stop there. And reconfess. And then confess again. And then declare. And then re-declare. And then change and decree now. Listen, after I have confessed here, and we have declared, hallelujah, praise God, we have done that. When we walk out, we are listening now. Because the power has been released. Now Holy Ghost says, alright, I see what you want. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the way. Take this way. Take this way. Turn here. Stop here. Wait a minute. Wait for 10 minutes. Okay, now go. There it is. Take it. It's yours. That's why he's here. To help you walk in everything that's already yours. But if you don't listen to him, you don't give him time, you listen to politics more than him.
Shame.
Then you will always call me telling me, oh, you need prayer for breakthrough.
Always.
And being the good pastor I am, I will always declare breakthrough. Father, breakthrough in Jesus' name. I will declare the breakthrough. But if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to walk in everything. You'll be so limited. You'll be so limited. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:12. It says the Spirit came that we may know. But let's continue reading. It gets very interesting. Let's go to verse 14. The natural man or the natural person does not receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. There you go.
Huh?
Say that again.
Motho ya buswang ke botho.
Oh.
Ha amohelisa moya. Hobane ho yena tseo ke bothoto.
Listen to that. The natural man.
Motho ya buswang ke
botho. The natural self.
Motho wa namana.
Doesn't receive the things of the Spirit.
Ha amohelisa
moya. To them they are foolishness.
Ho yena ke botho.
This is where many Christians fail.
Ke hona mo ba Christ ba bang.
We want to fit in.
Re batla ho kenella ho.
Am I right or am I right? Which one? Am I right or am I right? Okay. We like to fit in. We don't want to be seen as unusual. Peculiar. We want people to understand us. But the Bible says, if you're going to walk in spiritual things, the natural man will see that all that is foolishness. The natural man says, what, you are confessing? Confessing. So you speak it and it will happen. Foolish things. To the natural man does not follow the things of the Spirit. To him, they are foolishness. Here, you are facing a serious problem. Everybody's like scared. And you're like, ah, don't worry. No weapon formed against me will prosper.
Then
look at you like,
this
Christianity has run to his brain now. He's losing it. Don't try to fit in. Continue in the Spirit. The results will speak for themselves.
But
if every time you're trying to fit in, trying to be understood, you will always limit what God is trying to do for you.
Way.
Follow God. Follow the Spirit. I'm a person of the Spirit. That's how you're supposed to be. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who's leading you all the way. Just follow. Some of you are probably like, follow what? I can't even hear. That's a problem. You have a problem now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you with me? Okay, we're still together, church. I say I'm a person of the Spirit. I'm trying to help you to walk in your personal prosperity. Your prosperity. God knows the prosperity for you. What it is, where it is, how to get it. If in, listen, to the Jews, every day they read the law. Every day. To the Christian, you are supposed to be listening to the Holy Spirit every day, not once a month. Every day. When you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, speak to me. During the day, Holy Spirit, speak to me. What is on your mind concerning me? Towards the night, Holy Spirit, talk to me. I am listening. You're going to the bathroom, use the Holy Ghost. Speak to me. If you don't do that, you lose sight of him. When you neglect him, you fail to possess all that is yours. Listen to what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Please stay with me. Verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he might become wise.
Ha e mong hara lona ikgopola gore o na le bohlale ba lefatseleng. Ha ke a fetwe sethoto. E le gore a tle a hlalefe.
If you think you're really smart, you're really sharp.
Ha ba o nahana gore tle o bohlale.
He says, humble yourself. Consider yourself foolish so that you may gain the true wisdom of God. You know why? Because human wisdom and God's wisdom don't always match. Let me give an example. An opportunity can present itself before you. Good opportunity. And you're looking at it like, whoa, I'm going to make money here.
Ooh,
Jesus.
Yeah,
God. And then you're like, well, according to your human wisdom, God, I'm taking this. And the Holy Spirit says, stop! Don't even go there. What are you going to do then? You have calculated it out. Oh, this thing is going to work. The Holy Spirit says, stop. Leave it. What are you going
to
do? He says, if you think you are smart, consider yourself a fool so that you may truly be wise in the Spirit. When human wisdom and God's wisdom clash, which one will you choose? Which one? Just think about it. Verse 19, it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Ha! How do you like that one? He says the wisdom of this world, verse 19, is foolishness to God. Foolishness. So God looks at the most wisest people on earth, is like, That's level. For me, it's foolishness. Still too low. Let me tell you why. One of the reasons, just one of the reasons, why our wisdom is like foolishness to God. It's because God, get this, He sees past, present, and future all at one time. That's why. One of the reasons why.
So
you make decisions based on now most of the time. And you assume this will happen in the future. God doesn't assume. He's seeing it all. Like, okay. He's like, okay, this thing is just going to work for 6 months and the whole thing will crash. For the next 7 years, you'll be suffering really hard. He sees it all. So you can't see that. So you are here and you are like, God, this is it. This is all. This is going to work, God. This is, oh. Confirm it, confirm it, confirm it. Let a prophet speak. Now, to someone who's seeing the future 10 years ahead, he looks at you and he's like, foolish. Your wisdom is foolishness with him. The importance of hearing from the Holy Spirit. Paying attention to what he's saying. The second part of the verse says, for it is written, God catches the wise in their craftiness. And again it says, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Second part of verse 19.
Okay. Botlhale ba lefatshe le nana ke bothoto mahlong a Modimo. E tswa mangolo a re Modimo o tshwasa ba botlhale maqhikeng a bona. Hape ho thu morena o tseba hore mehopolo ya ba botlhale ke lefe.
When you think of, I was thinking about this, the police department. They have this thing that they call intelligence.
Bana le
intel.
Those
guys, they go in and find out stuff. Stuff about hidden stuff about stuff. It's the intelligence unit where they go out to find stuff, to investigate deeply and secretly, get information. The Holy Spirit is God's heavenly intel in your life. He lets you know even what the enemy is planning. Watch out. He's planning 1, 2, 3. Heavenly intelligence working for you. God seeing past, present, and future and giving you intel even about the future. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to me now. That should be your prayer, day in and day out. First thing, most important thing. Come on. You have God's Spirit in you, but you're still confused. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? God is not confused. Look, let me not waste your time, but look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was so clear from the very beginning of his life. Clear. He wasn't kind of, you know, watching, should I do this or should I do that, or hey, will this one work? No, he was clear. Clear. Look, he's 12 years old. His parents lose him. He's lost in Jerusalem. They're looking for him for 3 days. And then they find him. Jesus, where have you been? We've been searching all over. And he shocks them.
Says,
don't you know I'll be busy with my father's business here in the temple?
What's
wrong with you? Don't you know
that
this is what I'll be busy doing. You don't need to search all over. I'm busy with my father's business. 12 years of age, he's already clear. Clear about his direction. He's not thinking, all right, I'm going to go to varsity and maybe I'll take this course and maybe we'll see, hallelujah, how God takes. No, he's like, clear. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, then I'll do this, and I'll become this. Clear about his life.
No.
We are not saving the God of dice. Seven, two, three. No, that's not the God we are serving. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss. It's not a hit and miss God. He's a clear God with a clear purpose. God knows what he wants with your life. God knows what he has invested in you. God knows what you are created to become. He's clear, not thinking about it. Listen to me. The reason why Holy Spirit is in you is so that you will live with clarity. Everywhere you know this is the way I should go. This is what I'm going to become. This is who I am. This is the gift I have. And when you are that clear, you can even tell people, I'm going to become this and this. Watch. You can do that. Jesus did that. Over and over. Let me see if we can find the scripture for this. Let's go to Matthew 16. Let's go to Matthew 16.
Matthew 16.
I am tired of confused Christians. We say we have the Spirit of God, but we are so unclear. We are not clear enough. I'm a person of the Spirit. Say it again, I'm a person of the Spirit. You should be clear. You should know. And the Spirit of God is there to speak in your heart, to speak in your mind, to give you the know. I'll close with Matthew 16. Matthew 16, I'm a person of the Spirit. Say it. Say, so Holy Spirit, speak to me.
Matthew 16:21.
It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. that is clear.
It's like, you hear that? Jesu a qala ho qatisetsa ba rutwa ba hai hore e ka gona a e Jerusalem a yo hlokofatso ha holo ke baholo le ke ba priest ba baholo le ditsebi tsa molao a bolawe mme ka tsatsi la boga go tswe bafu.
Listen to that. I got it clear.
He's
like, no, oh, this was going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and then on the third day I'll rise again.
Okay.
I'm not confused. I know why I'm here. In the early days of his ministry, they said to Jesus, after seeing him do miracles, they said to him, we're going to make you king. You are powerful. You know what he did? The Bible says he ran away. Not like running, but he avoided and went. And he said, no, I must preach to other villages. Please, let me speak like a mere man for a moment. If people came, Maseruka Ofela comes to you. We are making you prime minister. Today. Whoever is in the prime minister, we are taking him down. We are voting you in now. How many of you, don't answer me, God knows your heart. Don't answer. How many would say no to such a thing? Don't answer.
And people
are like, woo, seven black cars.
cars every time I travel. Just think of the life. Bodyguards.
The money, the life. Traveling all over the world.
Woo!
Yes, power.
Matla.
You see, if you know in your heart you will just take it, then that tells me you are led more by opportunity than by God. If you will just take it and it's not what God wants for you. Listen. I'm not saying that everybody is not supposed to be prime minister. No, if it's what God wants from you, that's fine. But if you know that's not what God wants, but you take it because of opportunity. Life will beat you up
badly.
They said to Jesus, "We want to make you king." He said, "No, that's not why I came. I came to preach. I'm just a preacher man." I'm just a preacher. Why? Because he was clear. He was not led by mere opportunity. He was led by the Spirit of God. What about you?
Mame,
listen to this. Life. This is a fact of life. Will always throw opportunities, different kinds. Tomorrow you can receive an opportunity to go and live in Indonesia and make double the money you're making now. Opportunities are always there. But what is the purpose of God? What is the Spirit of God saying in your heart? Does he confirm it or does he disapprove of it? Not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. Some good opportunities are designed to destroy you. If the devil can't get you to do evil, he will present a good opportunity to get you off track. There are many ways to destroy a man. Sometimes it's by attacking him. Other times by simply exalting him very high. Give him a lot of money. He will destroy himself. God knows you. So does the devil. The importance of being led by the Spirit. Your own personal prosperity will come as you are led and as you walk with the Holy Spirit day in and day out. Let him lead you. Stop leading him. Let him lead you. The advantage the Holy Spirit gives you is that the Holy Spirit gives you God's timing about the different things in your life. Look at Jesus again. Look at Jesus. Over and over they tried to kill Jesus. But what did he do? He would just disappear. And the Bible would say, because his time had not yet come. He knew it. It's not my time, so I can do my thing and disappear. When the time had come, no one told him. He himself said, "The hour has come. Behold, my betrayer is at hand." Judas appears. Does he disappear? No, he hands himself over. Why? Because it's time. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In your life, God knows the time for you to do certain things. Only the Spirit can let you know. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of might. The Holy Spirit is all this.
When
will you rise up and make a decision I am going to take advantage of the Holy Spirit in my life. God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for Jesus, he wants to do it for you also. Just as the Israelites paid close attention to the law, you should pay even closer attention to the voice, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. In closing, when I, the ministry of
Jordan House,
God spoke to me about it while I was still in Bible school. When I came out of Bible school, I didn't start Jordan House. Why? Because it wasn't time. The calling was there, but the timing had not yet come. And you know what I've realized about people? If you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to rush things and do make a mess.
2007, 2008, 2009,
September.
2009.
I was September. I said, God, when it's time, you will let me know. In between, I'll just keep studying the things of God. People studying ministries. When are you starting? Oh, no, God hasn't released me yet. I'm waiting for him. 2009. I still remember September.
2009 September.
God appeared to me in a dream, laid hands on me and released me, and he said, now go and show me what I should do. 2 weeks later, before anyone knew, friend of mine calls me. He says, hey, God spoke to me in a dream and told me that you're about to start a church.
Like,
yeah. I say, yeah, it's time. And I started. Walking with God means walking with His Spirit. When I look back, if I had started earlier, I was going to make a mess. That was going to cause me to redo the church all over after 2 to 3 years because of the teaching I was going to bring then. I was going to give you some hard law, I'm telling you straight. Fire! Law, heavy law. I was going to give you that, not grace. Why did God make me wait? Because he knew what he was doing in me. Not yet.
Nobody was doing.
And when I was ready, it's like, aha, I've invested now. Now, start.
You're ready.
And here we are. So what I'm saying to you is, the purpose of God for your life, follow him. It's not just about reading the Bible. It's about listening to the personal guide of God in you.
He knows.
Recently, God has been speaking to me about South Africa. And we're
going
to be doing some work that side as well. I'm still talking to him like, okay, so where do you, South Africa is quite big, so where do you want me to go? When do you want me to do it? And what will happen here in Maseru?
South Africa,
asking him. When God says, pack up your things and go, I'm leaving. I'm led by the Spirit. People can cry. I'm led by God. I'm not here to please men. You should never leave Maseru. What will happen to Jordan House Maseru? What will happen? The Holy Spirit will continue doing his work right here.
How?
It's not my thing. It's God's thing. And he will show you. Now, of course, I'm not saying I'm leaving tomorrow. Those of you like, what are you trying to say? No, I'm not leaving tomorrow. When it's time, I'll let you know. I'm not led by opportunity. I'm led by God. Opportunities present themselves in South Africa, but I just look away. Why? Because my father hasn't said anything to me about that. When the father speaks, I will go. I go, I'm a man of the spirit or person of the spirit. People will pull you everywhere they want you to go. Tomorrow someone will come to you with a new business thing that you can go into. Next week another will show you something on the internet where you can invest money as well. Tomorrow there will be another thing. There will always be something. They are not all wrong. Neither are they all right for you. Take the thing, pray, listen to God, and then make a decision with God. Mugut, what if God doesn't speak? Then don't do anything. If God doesn't see it as important for him to speak, then it's not important for you too.
It's not.
So keep quiet and keep doing what you're doing. Be led by the Spirit, not by mere opportunity. That's all. Stand up, you people of the Spirit.